Hi, I'm Ashok Anand, and from University of Wisconsin-Madison, and I will be talking about avoiding file system macro management with range writes. This work was done with Sandeep, Aditya, Andrea, Remji, and Suman, all from Wisconsin, Florentina from Google, who finished a PhD from Wisconsin, and Andrew from Berkeley, who finished his bachelor's from Wisconsin. Today's file system views disk as a linear array of blocks. For any read or write request, it just place request within linear array. On the positive side, the interface is simple to use. But on the negative side, it impacts performance because it hides certain details. For example, file system would not know where a disk head is. The problem is as follows. File system has a high-level goal to place a block near other related blocks. But it orders a low-level command to disk as a worker to write a block to a specific address. This is a classical example of micromanagement where a manager tells worker to do exactly what it has to do. The cost of micromanagement is unnecessary positioning time. For example, in this case, file system knows that block 10 is free, so it issues a write request to block 10. The disk is at position 2. So it needs to rotate to go to position 10 and then write. So it incurs rotational delay. The reason is that there is information gap between file system and disk. File system does not know which block request will give its minimum positioning time. It just knows what block is free. On the other hand, disk knows what is close, but it has no flexibility. Earlier work have tried to solve this problem in multiple ways. One approach is block remapping, where disk selects the closest block on the fly and maps it to request block. So disk need to track this mapping, which is large, and hence it's a costly and complex process. Another approach is object-based interface, where file system writes object to disk, and disk handles their placement. Again, this is complex, and it requires substantial change to existing systems. An ideal approach would require little modifications to existing systems, but should enable high performance benefit. So we take a cooperative approach using range writes by allowing more flexibility to disk without taking too much responsibility away from file system. So file system would specify a set of options, for example, block 4 to 11 in this case. Disk is at position 2, and it knows that block 4 is the best option. So it selects block 4 to write, and thus it makes write efficient. And the changes here is the minimal change, just a change in interface. Thus, range write cleanly separates the responsibility between file system and disk. File system, as a high-level manager, makes coarse-grained decision, and disk, as a low-level worker, makes final fine-grained placement decision. This talk is divided into two parts. In the first part, I'm going to describe how to build range writes. First, I'm going to talk about how do we specify range writes, how does it differ from classic writes. Then I'm going to talk about how do we integrate range writes with disk scheduler. We present two novel scheduling algorithms in the paper. I'm going to talk about one of them. And through simulations, we have shown that range writes can offer you up to order of magnitude improvement. In the second part of talk, I'm going to talk about how do we use range writes. I'm going to present a case study for file system allocation policy. We have built a EX2 file simulator on modified disk sim with range writes, and we have seen that it offers up to 30 to 40% improvement. Then I'm going to present a case study for journaling, where we have built a real prototype implementation. And with range writes, it made journaling write 20 to 60% faster under unmodified EX2.3. So first, how do we specify range writes? In case of classical write, for input, you need an address which would specify where data needs to be written. In case of range descriptor, you need to specify the set of options. A simple way of describing range descriptor could be a pair of address, like a start address and in address. and disk is free to select any block between start and end. A more sophisticated option could be a list of such pairs, or it could be a large range followed by a bitmap, and the bitmap indicates that which block cannot be written. So any of these options can be used to describe range descriptor. For output, in case of classical write, you just need a status which says whether the write was successful or not. In case of range write, you would also need to return a target address where disk wrote the data. So the next question is that with range writes, there can be overlapping ranges. So how do we handle overlapping ranges? So let's take this example. In this case, there are two range write requests, and the block B1 and B2 are common in them. So if disk selects block B1 from range write request 1, care must be taken that this does not select block B1 from range write request 2, because that would mean overwriting the earlier data. So disk needs to track the written blocks. The question is how long. If it is too long, it becomes complex. So we take a write barrier-based approach. In this example, you have two range write requests, and if this selects block 3 from range write request 1, it's not going to select block 3 from second range write request, unless they select block 4 from second range write request. After this, file system issues a barrier which indicates that disk can forget whatever blocks were written earlier. So now if file system presents a new range write request, disk is free to select any of them, and let's say it can select block 3 here. So this way we handle the case of overlapping ranges. Now I'm going to talk about how do we integrate range writes with disk scheduler. The scheduler needs to consider all the options within each range write. It needs to select only one of them and discard the remaining. We have presented two scheduling algorithms in the paper. One is expand and cancel scheduling, which can be easily integrated with in-place schedulers, but is a bit computationally complex. Another one is hierarchical range scheduling, which is computationally efficient, but is difficult to integrate with the existing in-place schedulers. So let's take a look at the traditional scheduling. Typically, you have a scheduler queue where a scheduler scans all the requests in the queue and selects one of them according to its scheduling policy, like SPTF or any other policy. For example, in this case, it selects the write request 9. In case of range writes, let's say there are two write requests, and each range write request has 4 options. The idea behind expand and cancel scheduling is to expand each range write and fill all set of options in the scheduler queue. So in this case, by expansion, there will be 8 options in the scheduler queue. Again, now the scheduler would select any one of them according to its scheduling policy, and let's say select write 16. So the remaining write request of the range write needs to be canceled. For example, in this case, you would cancel write 6, 11, and 21. So this way, expand and cancel scheduling works, and it is easily seen here that it can be easily integrated with existing in-place schedulers. For evaluation, we have modified disk sim for range writes. We have roughly added 1,000 lines of code. We have used HPC 2247A disk model, which is relatively old but has comparable seek and rotation time and good enough for our evaluation. So the first question we want to answer is that, is range write required at all? Whether do multiple outstanding requests solve the positioning time problem? With multiple outstanding requests, the scheduler gets more options, so it can potentially reduce the positioning time. So for evaluation, we have used shortest positioning time for scheduler, and the workload here is random writes, where writes span across the block group. Here's what we get. On the x-axis, we have number of outstanding requests, that is queue size. On the y-axis, we have total write time on average in millisecond, and we have shown the total time and its component, seek time and the rotation time. As you see here that for smaller queue size, rotation time is significant enough and comparable to seek time, and as queue size increases, it decreases. as NoSQL gets more and more options. In case of seek time, with increase in queue size, the seek time decreases but does not decrease much. The transfer time is independent of queue size. So we see here that with increase in queue size, the total time decreases but still is high. So the conclusion is that the problem remains even with multiple outstanding requests and is greater at a smaller queue size. If you consider the synchronous workload, we are on the left part of this graph where queue size is smaller and the positioning time is a problem there. Okay. So next we evaluate what is the benefit of these range writes. For this case, we choose a workload with random writes, writes spanning across block group, and now we consider the case where the range spans a track. So the idea is that if disk reaches a particular track, it can write anywhere on the track, so there won't be any rotational delay. And this is what we get as expected. As we see here that rotation time is significantly reduced for all queue sizes. So the conclusion is that range writes can dramatically reduce the rotational delay. Next, we consider the case where range spans block group. Since the writes also span within the block group, now actually this can write anywhere on the block group, so there won't be any seek or rotational delay. And this is what we get as expected. So the seek time and the rotation time is significantly reduced for all queue sizes. So the conclusion is that range writes can dramatically reduce positioning time. To give you the summary of this disk scheduler results, as we see that if you increase the options from no range to track size ranges to block sized ranges, the positioning time gets reduced further and further. Okay. Now I'm going to present a case study for file system allocation policy using range writes. There are numerous considerations that file system must take into account while incorporating range writes. I'm going to present the three main issues. The first one is preserving sequentiality. File system would want to do that, otherwise that would impact read performance. The other important issue is how to determine the size of the range. The next one is how do we handle delayed address notification, because file system knows where write took place after its completion, and that could have some implications. So first, preserving sequentiality. If this places blocks randomly, write may improve, but read may suffer. So file system should issue larger writes, and this could try to maintain sequentiality within each write. Another option is to restrict range to make write near sequential. The second important question is, how do we determine the size of the range? As we have seen through our earlier simulation results that larger the range, more the benefit. But file system again have some is high level policy as well. So it should present the largest range that best matches its layout and allocation policy. For example, if the policy is that file data needs to be placed in a block group, then the range size could be at most as a block group. The next issue is how do we handle delayed address notification? File system knows the resulting address after the completion of write, so that imposes some ordering constraint. For example, data block must be written before I know that points to data block is written. So we think that this would be easy to implement because file system is not going to use range writes for all structures. It will use range writes for only flexible structures like data blocks. For evaluation, we have built EX2 file system simulator on disk sim with range writes. The block allocation of EX2 is similar to FFS in a way that related files are placed in the same group. EX2 does a further optimization that it divides block group into mini group, and files for the same process are placed in the same mini group. With range write, what we do is that for the first data block of file, we give some flexibility, and the range size is determined according to EX2 policy, like a size of a mini group. The next data blocks are written in sequential manner as much as possible for preserving sequentiality and for read performance. We first evaluate this file system with range write on a synthetic workload where we create 1,004 kilobyte files on an empty file system. So here's what we get. On the x-axis, we have the case for single process, when the single process is creating files, and then when multiple processes are creating files. On the y-axis, we have average write time per file in millisecond, and we compare the case of no range with range writes. For the single process case, no range write and range write perform similarly. This is because that in this case, all the files are created in the same mini group and are placed contiguously in both cases. For the multiple process case, range write actually outperform classic writes. If we look at the layout, then the distribution of files per mini group is similar in both cases. So this indicates that the high level policy is the same, but due to range writes, we get better performance. We have also evaluated file system with range write on real benchmarks using UNTAR, Postmark, and Andrew, and we have found that range writes offer 16% improvement in UNTAR, 35% improvement in Postmark, which are more IO intensive workload. Andrew has more reads, so the performance is kind of similar. So the conclusion is that range writes offer promising results for integrating into file system. Of course, there's much more to explore. For example, how do we handle overwrites? Now I'm going to present a case study for journaling where we have built a real prototype. A journaling system writes data to log, and the writes happen whenever application explicitly forces data to disk or after a certain interval. The log is written in sequential manner. So there is no seek delay, but there is some rotational delay. So here's how rotational delay happens. Journaling system issues a write request to 3 and is going to write at 2. Disk is at position 2. But before the journaling system issues the next transaction at 3, this could have rotated, let's say, at position 4. So now if journaling system issues transaction at block 3, it has to rotate to reach position 3 and then write, and thus it incurs rotational delay. So our approach is to convert write-ahead log to write-ahead reason, and instead of writing to next location, we write it to next rotationally closest location. So in this case, journaling system would skip 3 and write to position 4, and now this can write at position 4. There won't be any rotational delay. So here's our prototype. We have a Bark as a software layer between journal and disk. Bark uses a disk performance model to figure out where the journal traffic should be placed on disk for reducing rotational delay. The disk performance model is approximate and is specifically suited for such sequential workload. So as a transaction B comes, Bark computes a skip distance based on the earlier request location and the interval time, and place it on the disk for reducing rotational delay. Similarly, for transaction C, it again computes the skip distance and place TC accordingly. Thus, it's kind of spread out the different transactions across the disk for reducing the rotational delay. For evaluation, we mount EC3 journal on Bark as a pseudo device. We have used TPC benchmark for evaluating, which has a series of credit and debit small database transactions. The main characteristics of TBCB benchmark is that it frequently forces data to disk, so it offers a great deal of synchronous traffic to EC3 journal. We have evaluated it in two cases when cache table is in the memory versus when it is not in the memory. And we have seen that with the range writes, in case of uncached case, it offers 20% benefit, while in cached cases, it offers 61% benefit. In cached cases, it is more because the workload is now more dominated by disk traffic, the write traffic. To take a closer look into write times, we plot a CDF of write times. On the x-axis, we have time in millisecond, which varies from 0 to 6 milliseconds, where full rotation time is 6 milliseconds. On the y-axis, we have percentage of request. And we see here that in case of without bark, the write times are spread out between 0 and 6 milliseconds. With bark, for the 99% of the requests have write times less than 2 milliseconds. So this indicates that write time is significantly reduced, and hence range writes can significantly improve the journaling performance. So in this talk, we have presented a range writes as a cooperative approach. File system, as a high-level manager, makes a coarse-grained decision. It does what it does is best. This does what it does is best by making final fine-grained placement decision. And we have shown the benefits of such approach by simulation and real prototype implementation that it can offer a great deal of benefit. Most of the machines use a single disk, and we have established the benefit of range writes there. But it is again an interesting problem to look into how range writes can be extended for an array disks like RAID. Another interesting dimension of range writes is what if we allow range reads? It is also again interesting. Then the basic principle behind range writes, the cooperative approach between file system and storage devices, can also be applied to new era file system like flash SSDs. It is an interesting area there as well. Thank you. And I'm open for questions.
Hi, Dushyant Narayan in Microsoft Research. So you want me to change the disk interface, and then you want me to change the file system so that to improve write latency.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't I just buy some cheap flash, put a write-ahead log on it, and be done with it?
Okay. So this is a very good question, that if flash is becoming popular, where does this fit? Still now, most of the systems have disks, right? And there, this will perfectly fit. Even with the flash SSDs, this cooperative approach between file system and storage devices can again be applied. And that is an interesting area to explore.
Hi, Jason Flynn from Michigan. I have a question about range writes. In particular, I wonder what what is the right way to handle dependencies between data writes, where one write may depend upon knowing the location of a preceding write. What's the best way to do that in range writes block, or add more logic to the lower layer?
Okay. So as we have seen, even for the file system case, there is some ordering constraint, like a data block must be written before the inode that points to data block. So I guess the higher level should take care of this, that how to make this ordering, the higher level should take care of this ordering.
Okay.
Bill Belosky from Microsoft Research. I had a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
One, it seems to me that if you ever do overwrites using this, you're going to need to do a second write to write the pointer to it. And my second question was, in your evaluation, did you really only evaluate using empty file systems, which is, I mean, by far the best case? It seems to me this range writes is going to generate a lot of fragmentation, which mm-hmm. real file okay. systems have anyway, and okay. that's going to really affect your results. So
the first question is quite interesting, like how do we handle overwrites? With overwrites, I mean, you have an option to write to the new location, which would improve the write time. But on the other hand, it could would break the sequentiality, so read may suffer. So it is an interesting area, and we don't address this. It's an interesting area for future work. In this talk, I have just talked about the empty file system, but in the paper, we also evaluate with other scenarios where you have half-full systems, and we have shown that the benefits is still there as well.
Philip Levis, Stanford University. So I wouldn't be so fast to assume that if you have, just because you have a big flash buffer in front of the disk, then this range writes will necessarily still be helpful. If you look, look at some of the modern Sun storage systems that have large flash buffers, there's kind of this observation that if the buffer is large enough, in fact, rotational latency becomes irrelevant to the point at which they're considering putting low-speed disks because, gosh, they consume less energy and, why not? And so I wouldn't be so fast to assume that you'll actually get some cooperative interaction.
Sorry, I could not get your question.
What's the question?
I could not get your question, sorry.
It was a comment, not a question. Hence the lack of a raise at the end of the last sentence.
Mm-hmm. So I think the fragmentation needs to be revisited because one of the worst problems of any kind of a log-structured approach to the disk is you end up with 4K, 8K holes all over the place over time. And I would think you're going to get more of those. So is that true?
Okay. We do not handle this. We have not evaluated this case for fragmentation. But again, with the workload that we have, it will have some this kind of scenario, and we have shown the benefits still there, 16% or 35%. All right, thanks.